Hello there. Welcome to the program. Thank you for stopping by. I've got my chair reserved for you at the table. I'm Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you'll be able to join me. I am thrilled about our guest on the program tonight. Earlier today on Spirit in the Morning, I sat down with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe from from EWTN to talk about the final days of Mother Angelica. This is something I've wanted to do for a long time. I have to say he was phenomenal. What a great man, holy priest, good person, and I just thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. We will be replaying that interview on today's program. In addition, we will look at the Mass readings from Wednesday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time. So we've got a very busy show today. I want to thank you for your responses. I asked for donations yesterday. You came through for me. I'm very grateful. It feels really good to be able to do this podcast again, albeit in a different format. We're doing things a little bit differently here now, but it's working out good. The interviews, I'm getting good comments on it. Thank you for sticking with me, for being patient with me. I am going on the road tomorrow. I'm heading to Dayton, Ohio to speak at a homeschool conference. I'll be gone for a couple days, so I'll be pre-recording Thursday and Friday's show. Last time I got into some trouble, I couldn't do one of the programs. I'm going to make it a point, God willing, to get them all done. So Thursday and Friday will be pre-recorded shows. Again, thanks for sticking with me. Remember, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out more about my work. If you want to book me to speak, if you want to find out about any of my books, including my latest Stop Worrying and Start Living, the place to go is followingthetruth.com. Let's kick things off with prayer today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for another day. We thank you for the ability to come together for these 30 minutes and talk about you. Talk about your church. Talk about ways that we can grow closer to you. It's a great blessing to be able to do that. Father, we thank you for loving us. Sometimes we take that idea for granted. God loves me. We hear it so much. But do we really appreciate how much it means? Help us to understand more. We really want to understand and appreciate your love because we know that will motivate us to do better. And it'll also motivate us to keep going even when we don't feel like it. Why? Because our love, your love for us, helps us to realize that anything that's happening in our life can somehow help us. So we thank you for all these things, Father. We ask you to continue to keep us on the right path so that we may walk with you and one day with you forever in heaven. We lift up all our needs, all our problems, whatever they may be. We ask you to handle them for us. And I specifically ask you today to speak through me on the program. Please use my mouth, my voice, my lips to proclaim your message and open all of our minds to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, always feels good to pray, doesn't it? I know the big question you have. Gary Zimak, what is your beverage du jour today? Well, I do have one today. Here we go. If you guessed a nice can of Coca-Cola, you are correct. So many times, this is my go-to soda. I'm not a big fanatic for sodas, but I drink them probably more than I should. But you know me, I love my coffee. But Coca-Cola, nice and cold. One of my favorite sodas, even though I like some of the more sugary ones too. But we'll get to that. I'll make sure to continue an assortment of beverages throughout this program. Believe it or not, I have specifically gone out and picked a drink or two and said, you know what, I need to do this one on the show because I get lots of comments. So it makes it real, doesn't it? It makes it real that you and I are hanging out together talking about Jesus. And it's a great honor to be able to do that. So again, I'm going to say thank you for giving me the time. I know you have a lot of competition out there. I thank you for giving me the time to share Jesus Christ with you. Let's look at the Mass readings today, Wednesday of the 14th week in Ordinary Time. Now, unfortunately, we are skipping. This is what happens when the church puts these Mass readings together. Certain blocks of readings are often taken out. We were hearing about Jacob yesterday, Jacob wrestling with God. And just to underscore the point, you go ahead and feel free to wrestle with God. And remember, blame me. That's fine. I want you to know him so well that you'll come back at him respectfully, of course. You know, you got to remember he's God. But come back at him, challenge him, say, come on, Lord, you said you would do this. Go ahead and do it. That's good. That's a good thing. That's what Jacob did yesterday, and Jacob was blessed because of it. So we skip over some of the details of Joseph. You know, Joseph, the story of Joseph being sold into slavery in Egypt. Well, that very bad thing was perpetrated on Joseph by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. But things worked out for the best because Joseph rose to power in Egypt. He became very powerful. He really grew in importance. His role became very important to Pharaoh, and he had a big job, as they say. So all of a sudden, hunger is coming to the land. Hunger is coming to the land of Egypt. People are desperate for food. Joseph is the guy in charge of the crops. So you see, he's got a really important job. Now remember, his brothers sold him into slavery. Listen to today's first reading, Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 55. When hunger came to be felt throughout the land of Egypt, and the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, Pharaoh directed all the Egyptians to go to Joseph and do whatever he told them. When the famine had spread throughout the land, Joseph opened all the cities that had grain and rationed it to the Egyptians, since the famine had gripped the land of Egypt. In fact, all the world came to Joseph to obtain rations of grain, for famine had gripped the whole world. So let me just pause and put this in here. The entire world right now is under a famine. The whole world's suffering. The sons of Israel were among those who came to procure rations. Excuse me, I have to turn my page here. The sons of Israel came. It was Joseph, as governor of the country, who dispensed the rations to all the people. When Joseph's brothers came and knelt down before him with their faces to the ground, he recognized them as soon as he saw them. But Joseph concealed his own identity from them and spoke sternly to them. With that, he locked them up in the guardhouse for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to his brothers, "Do this, and you shall live, for I am a God-fearing man. If you had been honest, only one of your brothers need to be confined in this prison, while the rest of you may go and take home provisions for your starving families. But you must come back to me with your youngest brother. Your words will thus be verified, and you will not die." To this they agreed. To one another, however, they said, "Alas, we are being punished because of our brother. We saw the anguish of his heart when he pleaded with us, yet we paid no heed. That is why this anguish has now come upon us." Reuben broke in, "Did I not tell you not to do wrong to the boy? But you would not listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood." The brothers did not know, of course, that Joseph understood what they said, since he spoke with them through an interpreter. But turning away from them, he wept. Do you see what's happening here? What an incredible turn of events. Joseph's brothers did something evil. They were jealous of Joseph. They sold him into slavery. Joseph runs into some great blessings. All of a sudden, he's in power. The whole world is hungry, looking for food. The brothers go down to Joseph, who is dispensing food in Egypt. This is what happens. Now, we're going to see the continuation of this story tomorrow. And maybe I'll talk more about it then. But the point is, sometimes God's got a master plan. Well, God always has a master plan. What am I saying? Sometimes. God always has the master plan, and oftentimes we don't see the big picture, but he does. This is why we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to trust him because he knows what he's doing. He's good at being God. We're not good at being God, but what do we like to do? We like to play God. We think that we can do it better. We can't. This is a great case in point. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 33, "Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With a 10-string lyre, chant his praises. Sing to him a new song. Pluck the strings skillfully with shouts of gladness. The Lord brings to naught the people of nations. He foils the designs of peoples. But the plan of the Lord stands forever, the design of his heart through all generations. But see, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. We see sort of a figure of the way the Lord provides for us in that first reading today, when the people had to go through Joseph to be able to get food, when his brothers came to, when the entire world was coming to Egypt looking for that food, and Joseph was the guy. He was the man dispensing the food. In a similar way, the Lord is the dispenser of the graces that we need to get to heaven, right? I mean, we look at the big picture here. Our goal in this life, the reason we're here, is so that we can live in heaven one day. We can't do it on our own. We've got to go to Jesus Christ to get to know him and to receive that grace that he wants to give us in order to be able to make it to heaven. So it's a similar type of thing. Remember, you're not getting to heaven on your own. I don't care how good you are. And I think that's where we trip up sometimes. We think, I'm going to be really good. I'm going to be trying so hard to be good. Well, you can only do so much. You need to cooperate with that grace that the Lord gives you. But don't forget, it's not you who are responsible for the good you do. And again, this is sometimes this is a tricky point to really grasp. Just don't get cocky. Don't become proud because you think you're a great person. You're doing it because of the grace given to you by the Lord. And it's important to remember that. The gospel today, Matthew 10, verses 1 through 7. And this is a great example of what the Lord can do with some really imperfect people. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus did not choose very successful people. He didn't choose big-time scholars for his leaders, for the people who would lead his church, for the people who he would eventually entrust with his church. Look at who he chose. What a motley crew these guys are. What did they all have in common? They said yes. And that's the message for us. He calls us every day, follow me. Follow me and spread my word to those around you. We are all called to be evangelists, to be people who share the gospel with those around us, in our homes, in the office, in the store, wherever we go. Some of us get to do it in a public way, but we're all called. Are we qualified? No, none of us are qualified, but that's okay. The Lord will provide, and that's the encouraging message for each of us today. You'll hear this interview in a few minutes from Father Joseph Mary about Mother Angelica. She was hardly qualified to do what she did. She said yes. God can do great things in your life. All you need to do is learn to say yes and trust him. And there you have it. There's today's Mass readings. We're going to take a little break. Check in with Tony Rossi of the Christophers with a message. When we come back, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe from EWTN talking about the final days of Mother Angelica. I'll be back to wrap things up at the end. As a reminder, you are listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's great to have you here. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Baseball broadcaster Joe Garagiola passed away at age 90. And over the years, he appeared on Christopher Close-Up twice, once on a memorable show with our former director, Father John Couture. Father Couture asked the Catholic Garagiola, "What do you say to those who claim that Catholics make too much of Mary?" Joe answered, "Father, I know that if you want to get to the man, you get to the mother." Joe laughed, but he went on and he said, "We don't say enough to praise Mary, her care and protection. The same for Saint Joseph, the patron saint of families. I always pray to him to protect my family, to put his arms around us. He took care of the Holy Family, didn't he? What more can you ask?" This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Well, we are very blessed to be joined by someone who is very special to us here at Holy Spirit Radio, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. He is the EWTN chaplain. He is somebody, if you watch or listen to EWTN, you are very familiar with Father Joseph. I wanted to have him come on the show to talk a little bit about Mother Angelica. Father knew Mother very well, and especially I wanted to focus on her final days. I know there's a lot of interest in the final days of Mother Angelica. Father Joseph Mary, welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good to be with you, Gary.
Thank you so much for being willing to come on the program. Father, I have to ask you, before we start talking about Mother's final days, we have a lot of listeners. Her program still airs daily on Holy Spirit Radio. What was Mother, and I know what you're going to say, but what was Mother like off the air? Similar to her on-air personality?
Oh, yes, she was on-air what she was off-air, yeah. You know. So she wasn't afraid to, if she had to, blow her nose on TV.
I love
it. So she was who she was, yeah. And she was just a wonderful, remarkable lady, really. And you think about it, I sometimes think back at all that has been accomplished and how the network reaches the whole world now. And she started with $200 in faith, and that's all she had. But that was enough with God.
Yeah, yeah, wow, what a story. Now, Father, you originally went down to EWTN as an engineer?
That's right. I had seen her in Dubuque, Iowa, where I was living at the time, and they were having a lot of technical problems. And she said, as you can tell, we need an engineer. So I was wrestling with a vocation at the time. I thought, well, maybe I can sort it out this way. And so I wrote to her and said I'd volunteer to help with engineering. Did that for 2 years, and then Mother began our community because she realized, although the nuns were involved in the early days, that their life was one of prayer. And she founded our community to be the spiritual support for the network. So that began in 1987. And the Lord gave me many signs that that's what he wanted for me. So it's been quite an adventure, really, really an adventure. When you go to serve the Lord, get ready for an adventure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Father, we're glad you said yes, I'll tell you that much. Father, we often struggle with suffering. We sometimes struggle to make sense out of suffering. Why do I have to go through this? Suffering was a very big part of Mother's life, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, she said something. We were sending around a radio clip, this was shortly before she died, of something that she had said on a program, where she said that she had told the sisters she wanted to live as long as possible. And they were saying, why do you want that? She said, even if it took medical intervention. And she said, well, you don't realize the value of one more offering, one more act of love for God.
Wow.
You don't realize the value of that. And truly that was, you know, she spent like the last 8 years of her life in bed. And yet there was a beautiful, you could see this beautiful thing happening in her own soul that she really touched people who got to see her in her last years, really moved them, and she often couldn't say anything. But she would give you a blink or a nod or a smile, or she'd hold your, squeeze your hand, and it affected people. It affected a lot of people.
Now, specifically, and you did such a great job with the homily at Mother's funeral mass, but specifically the last few days you were with her, could you share a little bit about what exactly went on?
Yes, so, you know, Mother had been in bed for the last 8 years, I think it was. And when you're in bed that long, your bones begin to deteriorate. So that happened shortly before her death. There was actually a break, I think, in her femur or hip.
Wow.
And it was just that her bones had dissolved, you know, in a lot of ways. So she was in a lot of pain, and there wasn't really much they could do to relieve that. And it was actually Good Friday when her pain was its most intense. It was on Good Friday. And I went to her room because you have the veneration or the adoration of the cross. And I took the crucifix off of her wall in her room, and I held it up to her lips as I had done many times in the over the course of the years when she was still active. And it always deeply impressed me how she lovingly kissed the cross. It was like you could see this was a kiss for someone she deeply loved, but it was also a sorrow for what he had endured, but a tender, tender love. And so for the last time, I did that on Good Friday, 2016. And that was the crucifix that was on her coffin. And then, so she was in great pain on Good Friday. But then on Holy Saturday, her pain alleviated somewhat, and she was more calm. But then Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, I get a call at 5:30 that Mother was not doing well. Mm. So I rushed over, and the sisters were already gathered around her bed, praying their divine office there. And I did the prayers for the dying and the apostolic pardon and all of that. And then she was doing a little bit better. So Father Miguel was also up in Hansville, and at 3 o'clock he said, well, let's go over and see how Mother's doing. So we went over there, and the sisters were praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we joined them. And then it was actually about 5 o'clock that she breathed her last. And, you know, it's fitting that Easter Sunday morning is for our Lord, his resurrection, that's the focus. But because she died on Easter Sunday evening, during the octave of Easter, you cannot do the office of the dead.
Right.
So we had to do the Alleluias and all of that during that week, which messed up some of our plans that we had. But that was fine, of course. That was wonderful. And we actually had to do some last-minute changes for the solemn vespers for her funeral.
That's typical mother style, though, isn't it?
That's right. There was a ride of faith, you know, that growing up on a farm, you're used to everything kind of being in order and you do things the best way. But Mother, she would take risks.
Right.
If she knew that this is what the Lord wanted, she would go out there and she would do it. And if she looked like she was foolish, that was fine.
She didn't care, did she?
She didn't care.
What a powerful story. And I think, Father, when we look at her life, and by the way, thank you for sharing those intimate insights, because you got to see something that most of us we're unaware of. We lost sight of Mother, and we really missed on we missed out on those final years. And it's thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Because we often run away from the idea of death. We don't want to talk about death, but in reality, it can be a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. It was. It really was beautiful. And really, her funeral, and even, you know, we had prepared a little orchestra and a beautiful choir for her funeral mass.
Right.
And one of the people that was involved had been a fallen away Catholic, and just the graces of that week brought that person back to the practice of their faith. And there were many other people, too, who had tuned in. I remember a man who had said that, well, he heard that Mother had died, so he wanted to see what was going on, and just the ceremonies that we had and the graces of that week brought him back to the practice of his faith. So it really was something beautiful, because she had lived her life all for God. And as I said in the funeral homily, you can only understand Mother Angelica to understand Mother Angelica, you have to understand the one that she loved with the passion of a bride.
Wow. Yeah, she really had that personal friendship, that close, deep friendship with Jesus, didn't she?
She did. And I knew that when I first came to work in engineering. And we always prayed before the live shows, the crew did. And at that time, there was only like 20 of us.
Wow.
And we would take each other's hands, and Mother said this prayer that I just knew. She knew the one she was talking to.
Mm.
It wasn't a prayer at God. It was a prayer to the one she knew and she loved. And you just had a sense of that.
Yeah, that's the thing about Mother that always touched me, and she's responsible for a great deal of my conversion, even though I never met her personally. I knew that she knew Jesus, and I wanted to know him to that level. You know, it was so obvious.
Yeah.
So she has affected me in a very deep level, her life. And in fact, this station was founded because of a request that Mother put out there. She put out the request that we need more Catholic radio stations. So in 1999, this radio station was founded to proclaim the good news. And we are still here, Father.
Yes, took a step in faith, and Mother said we always, God likes to begin small, and then if we're faithful in the little things, it continues to grow, and and we learn to trust in God's providence, and I'm sure you've seen that too.
Yeah.
How, like Mother and the sister said in the early days, just in time. You know,
right.
Providence will arrive just in time.
Right. I don't like that, Father. I don't like that personally. I want a little extra time, but I know that you have to learn to trust him. I want to ask you something before we let you go. You knew her for a long time. Can you say what the greatest lesson you learned from Mother is?
I think it's just that. It's
just
trusting in divine providence and living in the present moment. That was another essential point of her spirituality, that what is God asking of me now?
Mm.
You know, we don't have to have everything planned out, organized, and prepared before we step ahead. That if we feel that God is calling us to something and we've discerned this and prayed about it, talked with others perhaps, we go ahead and we trust in God.
Yeah, and if it's coming from the Lord, it's going to work. I think Mother has said that. If it's not, it'll fall apart, but that's okay.
That's okay, too.
Yeah.
Right, then you know you've got an answer to that question.
That's right. Father, I know you're very busy, and I really want to thank you for taking some time to speak with us. It means a lot, and I'm very grateful that you would join us this morning. Before you go, could you leave us with a blessing?
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joseph Mary, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning today.
My pleasure, Gary.
Hey, Father, before you go, I want to let you know that I scored some big points with my family, my wife Eileen and my daughters Mary and Elizabeth. They love you, so they're very grateful that I had you on today.
Great.
Thank you again, Father Joseph. God bless you, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
A while back, I had a nice little chat with some Jehovah's Witness ladies, and they tried to justify their claim to be Christian by saying the early Christians didn't believe Jesus was God. Is this true? Well, of course not. Let me share a few examples. Take John 1:1, where John describes Jesus as the Word and writes the Word was God. Now, in order to get around this, the JWs translate the phrase as the Word was a God. But this is based on a misunderstanding of Greek grammar. Consider also Colossians 2:9, where St. Paul writes, "For in him, that is Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." In 1 Corinthians 8:6, Paul describes Jesus as the one through whom we exist. Isn't God the one ultimately responsible for the existence of things? So, contrary to what the JWs think, to be Christian, you must believe Jesus is God. I'm Carlo Broussard with A Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
And welcome back to the program. This is Gary Zimak. Thank you so much for joining us today. My thanks to Father Joseph Wolf, Father Joseph Mary Wolf, for being with us today to talk a little bit about Mother Angelica. Man, what a great story that was. Great, inspiring story for all of us. Remember, if God calls us to do something, and we saw this in the gospel today too, if God calls us to do something, he'll give us what we need. Sometimes we think that it's all up to us and we have to do it all ourselves. No, if that was the case, the church wouldn't still be around. Jesus chose those apostles, those knuckleheads, those guys who had so many problems to lead the church. Why? Because they would turn to him for help, and he would help them. And guess what? The church will survive in spite of all of our imperfections. It's been a great thrill to be with you today on the program, and I mean that. It really is a thrill every time I get to do this program, and I thank you for your support, for your prayers, for your kind wishes. Remember, tomorrow's program will be pre-recorded as I head to Dayton, Ohio. If you're in the Dayton, Ohio area, make sure you stop by the IHM Homeschooling Conference and say hi if you can. As I always tell you, remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, God is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. This is Gary Zimak thanking you for listening. God bless you. Have a great night. The Gary Zimak Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.